pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What an awesome scripture. I just sat there. I said, yes, Lord, thank you. That's for me today. That's for us. Amen. And then I said, it's for the body of Christ here. Unity. Look, guys, I'm telling you, whether you want to believe this or not, you can't live this life alone. You need God, you need Jesus, you need the Holy Spirit, you need His Word, and believe it or not, you need one another. To encourage one another, to keep one another on that path, to keep pushing. It's not just the pastor, it's the whole body working together. I only do the part God called me to do. But each one of us has been called into something. And the one thing that He has called us into is ministry. Ministry is ministering to one another. You understand that? It's more about the other person than it is about you. If you are living your life and it's all about you before someone else, you are out of the will of God. I'll make it just as blunt as I can. So don't look for blessings. If it's all about you. I can show you scripturally throughout all the scriptures here and there. But I thought thank you. I was just blessed by that. Amen. So anyways, now let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for the blessing that comes with searching out Your word, with joining together in unity with one another. And Father, for hearing of the voice of the living God as You speak to our hearts, Father, and bring truth to us that sets us free. Father, we desire above all things to be free from the bondages of this world, from the bondages of debt, of sickness, of poverty of soul, Father, all that ugly things that the world is so filled with, Father, fear and doubt, unbelief. Lord, we want to be free from all of that. And the truth sets us free. So let Your truth take up residence within our heart, Father, and in our mind, so that we can walk in the power of Your might through this life. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're talking about building our life on the rock. Amen. So this morning we're going to talk about life. Life itself. Remember I told you a long time ago, God had me do some messages on life. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to tell people about how to live their life. And it boiled down to this. He said, don't worry about it. I do know how to tell them what to do. Amen. So if you're looking for words of wisdom from David Shaw, you're not going to get them. If you're looking for words of wisdom from God to bring your life into order according to His will and plan for your life, then listen to God. I just happen to be the one that He used this morning to bring it to you. Amen? He could have used a donkey. He could have. Amen? I believe some people would pay more attention to the donkey sometimes. Right? Come on, if a donkey stand up here talking to you, you wouldn't be paying attention? So, whoa! Well, never mind. All right. Really? Come on now. When God does something in amazement, we get amazed, we get caught up for a moment, and then all of a sudden we're off again. Amen. But God still is still in the life thing. The whole thing is about life. Your life in Christ. By the grace of God, if you're not born again, you need to be. How do you get born again? Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, rose on the third day, and is seated in heavenly places right now interceding for you. How many of you know Jesus right now is praying for you that you have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God? That's what He's praying for you right now. He's not just praying that you get this and get that and get that. He says, if you have the knowledge of God, you will increase in grace and peace. Ooh! The grace of God is the favor of God. If you have the favor of God, you will get the favor of man. But you seek the favor of man first, you'll always miss God. That's from God. And I'm telling you, that wasn't mine. Amen? Hear what the Spirit is saying. Don't just sit there and say, well, I've heard all that before. No, you haven't. Because if you heard it before, you wouldn't be doing what you do. You wouldn't be saying what you say. You wouldn't be thinking what you're thinking. Oh, those thoughts will come, but then you don't meditate on them. Amen. You go, whoa, 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 that's not of God. I don't want that. Amen? Hallelujah. That wasn't for everybody. That was just for me. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I want to take you first to Matthew 7. Let's go there together first. Oops, excuse me for a second here. Matthew 7. Now, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is what is commonly or naturally called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus went up on the mountain. He sat down. All his disciples, those who were following him, sat around him. And he started teaching them about the kingdom of God. And basically what he was doing was telling them and showing them, explaining to them how a Christian would operate in this world. If you want to be a Christian, you want to know what a Christian should think and do, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Now where I'm taking you to is the end of the message that he was bringing them. I was going to say another word, but I thought I probably can't pronounce it, so I didn't say it. He was at the end of his message to these people. And this is where I'm taking you now, right towards the end, maybe not exactly right there, but verse 13. Jesus explained to them, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." I realize, because Jesus said it, I didn't. There's only going to be a few who find this life that he instructed them to have. Only a few of them. Are you among the few? That's the question you have to ask yourself. I don't ask it for you. But I want you to know something. If it is that life, it doesn't mean that everything instantaneously goes perfect. You will have your battles, but greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You must understand this. That life that he is instructing you into has already proclaimed you victorious. You go through the battles, but you will always win the battle. Always.
Yes.
Not sometimes, not maybe, not hopefully. If you're following the path that he instructs you to live, he's already won the battles ahead of you. They've already been completed. When Jesus went to the cross, he defeated every foe, every evil, wicked thing that was going to come against you. Why do I have to go through it? There's times when you go through things because you have to learn. How many love learning? Come on. People love to learn things if it goes to, you know, I'm going to get a better education, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. But when it comes to God, he's trying to teach them something, I don't like that. Because we don't think God teaches us in a nasty way. Well, he doesn't. He just allows it because you didn't learn in any other way. If you had learned it first the way he intended you to learn it through the word of God, when Cornelius says, you want to know what great faith is? That wasn't Cornelius, it was the centurion. He came to Jesus, he said, hey, come and heal my servant. He's sick. Mm-hmm. So Jesus said, okay, I'll come. And he said, no, you don't have to go to my house. All you have to do is speak the word.
Amen.
Jesus said he was amazed. This non-believer, this non-Jew was able to tap into the kingdom of God and receive from the kingdom of God great faith, knowing that it's only the word of God that he has to speak, and believe that word and it'll come to pass.
Amen.
But the church, the word of God's being spoken, and let me read this translation another way. This is out of the message. Ready? Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Do you get it? I love this translation. Let me say that again. Don't look for shortcuts to God. In other words, if you're looking for God's blessings and promises to come to pass in your life, there's no shortcut to them. Everybody comes up, wants prayer, give me a quick answer. We were talking the other day. I think Dan and I were talking. We were talking about how easy people, or was it, whoever was, we're shortcuts. Everybody's looking for a quick, easy answer so I can get on with my life. Well, it isn't life you're getting on with. You're getting on doing other things. But if you are a body of Christ, if you are Jesus, your life is His. Amen. So when you say you're on your way getting on with life, that means you're getting on with Jesus. Amen. If you're not, then you're not following the path He said for you. Because in all your ways we acknowledge Him. Mm-hmm. Every single way of our life. I don't care what you're doing. By golly, when you're at work and you're getting some answers that you didn't think you had the answers to, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. When you're doing something at home you never thought you could do before, thank you, Jesus. When God gives you just a wisdom that all of a sudden you say something. I've told you this story before. William was going to a church or school. He was being picked on. He was being bullied. So I went in and talked to the principal. And I said to the principal, I said, hey, what's the deal here? She said, I've been having this trouble. It was a woman. I've been in trouble with this young man a lot of times. He's been bullying a lot of kids. She said, I'm going to deal with him. I'm going to kick him out of school. And I sat there, and the Spirit of God came. And I'm telling you, this is not me. It is nothing I would have thought of. I could not think in such a way. Because I was angry. And I said to her, I said, wait a minute. I said, instead of doing that, do this. Go up to that young man and tell him that you need him to be William's friend to protect him from other kids. She did it. He stopped it. How can you deal with things you can't deal with? We can deal with them the way the world deals with them, or we can do it God's way. That was God. That wasn't me. It had nothing to do with me. But I never forgot the lesson. When I get into a place, if I would wait just a minute, God will give me the answer. And it won't be like everybody else's. Or it might be like everybody else's. I don't know. But God has a way of doing things. There's a path that God intended for you to follow. Listen to what He said. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easy going. How many ever listen? They got books out there. 10 ways to get your prayer answered. How many of them got out there? And how many billions of dollars are spent on this nonsense? I'm telling you. You go to God. You don't need instructions except from Him. Now, how do I know it's from Him? Because it lines up with this. Amen. Amen? If you're not in this, you can easily be deceived thinking it is God. And what we do is we fall back into our feelings and our emotions and our cares and our wants and this and that. And people say, and I just drive me, well, if I was God this way, I would do it. So obviously He's got to do it my way. No, God isn't like us. His thoughts and the way He thinks isn't like us. His ways isn't like us. So if we want God, we got to go His way using His thoughts. Amen? Now, again, I go back to that question. If your life isn't the way you want it, maybe you're not on the right path at the moment. I want you to know something. The message I'm bringing you isn't just about newborn babies getting saved. It's about people stopping for a moment, examining their life, and saying, wait a minute, I'm not following the right path. I'm not following the right path. So what do I need to do to get over there? Easy. Ask God. I'm serious, God. God doesn't mind that you mess up. What He minds is you continually mess up without consulting Him. Because He's got the answers. He's not joyful when somebody, you know, when a non-believer, the Bible says He doesn't even enjoy when a non-believer dies. Do you know that? God gets no thrill out of that. Amen? So why do you think He gets a thrill out of a believer dying? He doesn't. He doesn't like to see you hurting. He doesn't like to see you afraid. He doesn't like to see you always struggling through life trying to make ends meet. He doesn't want that. That's not the way He intended life to be. And there's two choices we make. Which life do you want? Yours or His? He'll let you have yours. He'll let you do whatever you want. That's what our God is. He's a loving God. He'll never force you to do anything. But he will advise you. This day you choose. Life or death. You choose. Let me finish reading this. He said, the market is flooded with surefire, easy-going formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. All right? So in other words, if I got 5 minutes, I'll give it to God. Right? Come on. Does that sound to any of us like that's it? All right? Let's go on. Don't fall for that stuff. Even though crowds of people do. The way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. We can't just ignore it. So he says to us, look, there's a way that seems right to man, and then there's a way that seems what I want. One leads to destruction, one leads to life. You choose. Now know this. You can exist on this earth without God. Matter of fact, you can prosper in many areas of your life without God. But you can't prosper in the area of the Spirit of God and the Spirit in you, where the joy and the peace and the comfort and the knowledge that all things are going to work out to good. Everything in my life will work out to good. Will I go through the, oh yeah, I wish I didn't. But I'm learning in every area, that which comes to rob my peace, I refuse to let it. Now, every once in a while, something jumps up and I go, argh! And I say, Father, forgive me. Because that anger does nothing. Nothing for me. The only thing that I know that I enjoy is peace. My home, I love to have peace. In my life, I like to have peace. But peace doesn't operate from out here. It operates from in here. So I've learned to shut up at times. Just because I think it doesn't mean I have to say it. I've learned that I'm not always right. Amen? I've learned I'm not always right. Even although my wife says I'm perfect, I am not. But I'm being perfected. I am holy because he is holy. The Holy One lives in me. I am perfect because he is perfect. That he lives in me. I am righteous because he is righteous. He lives in me. And I remind myself on a daily basis that is so.
Yes, come on.
Because if you look, and I'll tell you, you go back into Proverbs and the Psalms, you read about the righteous, what God says about the righteous.
Hallelujah.
Whoa, ho, ho. You want to be righteous.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just know it, you have to live it. And when you mess up, you repent quickly and get back into line. But let me tell you this right now. Just because you think you're right doesn't make you. At the moment, you'll live your life and everything will be going the way you want it to go and everything will look perfect. But there's always somebody waiting in that path for you. He's talking about a narrow path or a wide path. The wide path is easy. Oh, this following Jesus is easy. Maybe you're not on the narrow path because the narrow path is hard. But he said it's the narrow path that leads to life. Listen, my brothers and sisters, I hope and pray. There's a scripture in First John, and he says, those who have this hope in them, what hope is he talking about? The hope that we have in Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, that he's coming back for his church. Those who have that hope in them will purify themselves. Amen? Getting prepared. And I'm not talking about living a life like a monk someplace in a cave somewhere. But living a life that would glorify him. When he delivered you out of something is the time you glorify him. That is the day. When you're set free from something, that glorifies him. The Bible tells you this. He said, their lips are close to me, but their hearts are far from me. God is not watching what you say. He's watching what you do. For out of the heart come the issues of life. You can say, I love him, and they said it in Matthew 7, remember? Lord, Lord. He said, in that day you'll say to me, Lord, haven't we done all these wonderful works for you? Prophesied, cast out demons. He said, get away from me, I never knew you. Is that me? Well, I certainly examined myself to make sure it's not me. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not taking the word of somebody else. And I'm not taking just a part of the Bible that says, oh, you're all right, God loves you, everything's fine, you're going to go to heaven, you're going to be blessed, you can do anything you want down here, and God doesn't care. I don't do that either. I try to take the full counsel of God. The Old and New Testament. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. He's the one that when he had over 2 million people trying to get into the promised land and they refused to go in, he let them die in the desert walking around for 40 years. You don't want to be like that. You don't want to live this life down here for 40 years in misery and then go home to be in heaven. Praise God for that. But why not have heaven now? Can you have that kingdom of God now? Why did he say, pray this way, thy kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven, let it be done down here. Why would he tell us to pray that way if he didn't intend for us to experience the very kingdom of God now? Hallelujah. You can. You can. But it makes a decision on each one of our parts to live our life according to the word of God, not according to our own plans and purposes. Now you can. Well, I'm going to live my life until something bad happens, then I'll turn. No, you won't. No, you won't. If you don't turn because of love, you certainly aren't going to turn because of evil. How are we doing? Go with me into Proverbs chapter 24. So we have decided, did we not, to go the narrow path. Amen? The narrow path is God's way. The wide is man's way. We choose. I advise all of us, including myself, as God said, is choose life. It means you choose a narrow way. And this is not a religious activity. It's not saying you got to be on your knees 24 hours a day praying or reading the word unless the Holy Spirit tells you to because he's trying to break something in your life. He might do that. He did that with me for months and months and months. He had me in the word. Almost lost my wife over it. But God wouldn't let her go. She's still here. But I'd come home from work, get right into the word. Lunchtime, I'd separate myself from everybody else and get into the word. Was I perfect in all those days? No. I look back on it and I say, oh my goodness. Only God could be working that out. Only God could do this. I stand before you only because of God. By the grace of God, no other way. There's no other. And listen to me. I don't care how hard it is and how much difficulty you're having and trying to walk this walk and you keep falling apart or you keep failing. The only thing you need, the only requirement you have is a desire to do it. I have a heart's desire to follow Christ. I have a heart's desire to live my life for him. You got that, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He'll make springs in the desert places. He'll feed you with manna from on high. He'll provide for you everything necessary for a good and godly life. That's his way. Hallelujah. Don't ever think that you're beyond redemption or you're beyond hope or you're beyond the point of no return. Never. Never. Just go to him and say, Father, I've messed it up. Forgive me. He said, okay. Come on. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go. We're building this house, this life on the rock. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Oh, well, let's start in one. Why not? Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. Don't look at the wealthy. Don't look at the people in Hollywood. Don't look at all these people around you that you think are having a good life. It's not life without Christ. It's not life. The devil will always dangle things in front of you, make you think you're missing something. That's what he did with Eve in the garden. And Adam fell right into it also. Oh, look, you could be this, you could be... No. Don't ever get there. Don't get envious of anything the world has to offer. If you want a bigger something of the world, the eye says, pluck out your eye. Or God said, pluck out your eye. Don't let that cause you to fall into temptation. He's not saying literally, please. But get rid of that thing. Get your thoughts on something else. Cast down those vain imaginations that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to Christ Jesus. Amen? It's you and him working together in this. But recognize when this stuff comes and these thoughts come and all this garbage comes, you got to step back and say, no. No, I'm following the narrow way. I'm not following his path anymore. Been there, done that, didn't work out for me. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go on. For their heart devises violence and their lips talk of troublemaking. Through wisdom a house is built. By understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. We're building a house. We're building a life. How is it working? What does God tell us? It's built by wisdom. It's built by wisdom. These faith blocks, they're all just blocks laying around. Wisdom teaches us how to put it together. I want you to see something in Proverbs 3. Go in Proverbs 3 real quick. God's instructing us on how to build your life in Proverbs. We just read it in 24, okay? I want to show you something. Proverbs 3, verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew. Guess what? God created everything the same way he's telling you to create your life. Understand what I'm saying? God did it the same way he's telling us to do it. God is not asking something that he didn't already do. Now, if God had to do it the same way, why do we think we can get away with it without doing it his way? Do we think we're smarter than God? Stronger than God? Better than God? Do you know something that God doesn't know? No. Amen? So we have to back up. Okay, Lord, I see that you did this your way, the same way you're instructing me. I seen the success you had. That means I've got success if I do it the same way. Amen? Know this, it's not going to be overnight. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take a willingness on your part. Let me go back there and read that again. In Proverbs 24. Through wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled. Let's look at wisdom for a moment. Go back with me. Well, 1 John. Is that where I want to go? No. James 3. We're going to go back into Proverbs in just a minute, but I want you to go to James 3 first. Hallelujah. Wisdom builds a house. So obviously wisdom, and the Bible says, in all things get wisdom, And with wisdom, get understanding. So the first thing we want to do then is to get wisdom. But know this, there's two types of wisdom. Right? The right one and the wrong one. We want to make sure we got the right one. Right? How do I know there's two? Because the Bible says so. I believe what the Word of God says. Look what he says here. Verse 13. Hallelujah. All right, there's the first question we got for you here. Who is wise and understanding among you? Raise your hand if you're wise and understanding. Come on, say yes. Come on. Let it be a prophetic word. Yes, I am wise and I understand. Amen. If you say you're not, you won't be. Amen? Call those things that aren't as though they be. Start confessing life. Start confessing. If you just go with your own thoughts and your own cares and worries and fears and all this junk, you'll never go there. You say, yes, in Christ I am wise. In Christ I understand. Now help me, Lord, if there's any place I mess up. Come on. Be bold. You're a child of God. How many know you have the Spirit of God in you? You here know you got the Spirit of God in you? Who do you think wrote the Bible? Does the Spirit of God know what he's talking about? If he's in you, then the living Word is in you. Bible says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, if you have the Spirit of God in you, then you have the living Word in you. He said, you don't need a teacher. You got the teacher, the Holy Spirit. See, what we do is we lean on our own understanding rather than depending on the Holy Spirit to teach us. These people say all the time, well, I can't read because I never understand what I read. Yes, you do. But if you keep confessing you don't, you won't. If you say you can't, you won't. But in God, all things are possible if you can believe it. I believe that I have wisdom. I believe I have understanding. I believe that I have knowledge. Why? Because I got the one who created the heavens and the earth in me. Amen. The same Spirit that brought Jesus up out of the grave, it lives in me. Yes. Then why do you think you can't? Why do you think you won't? The first thing you got to break is the doubt. You got to break through that. You can't break through it any other way except by the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. And every time doubt comes your way, you lift up your shield of faith, which quenches every fiery dart. What is the shield of faith? The Word of God. It is written. You don't just say, I got the shield of faith. No, you say what the shield of faith does. Quenches every fiery dart. How do you do that? By the Word of God. I told you, once you go on this path, and you decide to go this path, you can't just be somebody sitting there thinking that God is the train conductor. He puts you in the thing and you just ride it all the way up there. You're going to have battles. When he took them into the promised land, he said, the promised land is yours. It's already yours. But you're going to have to do some battles. But don't worry, I'm going to be with you in them. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you right now, you already won. You just got to go through the process. If you decide to take this step and walk this path, this narrow path, you already got to the end of it. It's a finished, accomplished fact that you have eternal life in Christ. When you follow that path line, you're going to see the goodness of God even here in the land of the living. But it's already accomplished. It's not something you have to do. You just have to know I'm done. Even when I fall, I get back up because I know God says, if you fall, get back up, and he's faithful and just to forgive me if I confess my sins. He's faithful. Yeah, but sometimes I just get tired and don't want to. Yes, understandable. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So I learned to get joy. How do I get joy? By worshiping Him and praising Him. Then joy comes. I don't just sit there and stew because I'm upset and bothered by things. I'm upset and bothered by a lot of things. But I don't let them get to me. I refuse to become servant to that thing that puts so many people down. Amen? Now I only know one way, God's way. We can have a temporary reprieve. How do the people do that? Drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever it is. They get that little high. But they got to go back to the same thing because it never satisfies. That stuff never satisfies. If you can find satisfaction in the world, you don't need Jesus.
Come on.
The way you find satisfaction and peace and joy is in Christ and Christ alone. Because everything you see out here is passing away. Everything you see out here is passing away. That's why I like to watch these videos of sailing, people sailing around the world. It's amazing what goes on now. It used to be you had to retire and get a sailboat and go sailing. Not anymore. Now they got this new thing with videos. And young people are going, 20s, going sailing throughout the world. And they video them. And people pay them so they can watch them video traveling around the world. I sit there and look at it. I say, oh, some of the places they go are just so beautiful. The water is just pure, clear, and beautiful. I mean, there's no garbage, no, you know, cold, snow, and all this stuff. And I look at that stuff and I can get envious of it. I think to myself, boy, that would be a nice life. And God orders your mind, that is not life. The enemy will always tempt you with those things. It's not life. Life is Christ. Christ is life. And all those things, and I watch them, and all of a sudden I seen one in the boat capsized. Then they took a videos of what happened down Martinique and down where the hurricanes came through. Hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of these wonderful, beautiful sailboats turned upside down. Holes in them, up on the land. Totally destroyed. People whose whole life, they retired and live on that boat, and now it's gone. Just like that. You watch them, tears in their eyes. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what. So as much as that looks nice out there, as much as the moment it satisfies, there's coming a day of destruction for all of this out here. The cars get older, the houses get older, all these things. But one thing never changes. His name is Jesus Christ. If you're on that path, even if the storm comes and destroys your house, Jesus will make provision ahead of time for it. Always. Amen? The good news is you never have to worry. All worry's gone. He eliminates worry out of the kingdom of God. There's no fear. When you get there, you'll never have any worries. But that's what he wants you down here. Remember what he said in Matthew 6:33, I think it is? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added onto you. What? All the things the world says they need. How do you know that God is ready to pour out? I believe, and I've told you this, I believe with all my heart, the reason you're seeing the nation of in America today prospering in the financial realm is because they blessed Israel by proclaiming Jerusalem as the capital. The only reason this nation is prospering right now. People say, well, it's Trump. No. God put Trump in there. Amen? He put him in there. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's up to you. He did it for one reason. So he proclaimed Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. That set in motion the end days. Really time. Big time. Now you see the prosper. He said in Genesis 12:3, I think it is. I'll bless those who bless Israel. We have been anti-Israel for so long. God turned it around when he put him in there. President Trump is there on God's purpose. God, right now, for this moment, this time in history, God has you right where he has you for purpose. You may not see it. You may not understand it. But if you follow the path that God has set before you, you'll be used and you will have a what God calls a supernatural life. Not just like everybody else out there. Not just like the world looking for an answer from some man someplace. You'll come to understand the reasons behind the things that are going on. All of a sudden, wisdom starts coming to you. You start understanding what you should do in times of stress and trouble before it ever hits you. You're already prepared for the storm coming. You're already prepared for whatever comes your way. You're already prepared, and you can go through it just like Joseph did. He understood, and it took him a while, but he understood that what the enemy meant for evil, God would turn to good every time. But if you're on that wide path with everybody else, God isn't over there. God's on the narrow path. That's where he operates. His whole goal is to get the people off the wide path and bring them over onto the narrow path. But he said only a few are going to go that way. Does that mean you're not saved? I'm not saying that. I'm talking about a life worth living down here. Right now. Where you can look for tomorrow and you already have hope. You can look today and you're walking by faith. And you're not bothered because it's not coming to pass what you want it to come to pass at that moment. You know God's working. And if God's working, that's all that needs to be done. I know God's working for my good. I know God's working something out to make me a better person for his glorious work. God is working something out. I may not like it. Nobody likes the flesh when it gets scourged. Amen? Death was a relief to Jesus and a release. It wasn't something awful. Amen? When you die to self, you're going to find such a relief and a release. You're going to, all the struggling stops, all the things that you thought was important to you stop. Because in death, all that stuff doesn't matter anymore. When we leave this earth and go into the grave, or God calls us and we go up into the rapture, whatever it is, all that stuff you've been struggling to pay for down here is left behind. Hopefully, it's left behind. Amen? None of it matters. It matters nothing. When you stand before the Master, give an account of your life, all those things that you did for yourself, nothing matters. The only thing that matters is what you did for him and for the brethren. That's all that's going to matter. Amen? Okay. Did I get to James yet? No. I started, didn't I? 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, if you're envious of people, self-seeking, in other words, this is all about me. Self-seeking, if that's about you, this is all about you. Now, you know, outwardly you can do good things for people and say things, but inwardly, and I know I've seen and experienced this stuff, is that people will do good things for people because it makes them feel good. They won't do something for someone that doesn't make them feel good. That's self-seeking. I don't care what the works look like. Some people think it's, you know, oh, look at me. And then they certainly want everybody else to look at them. So that's why Jesus said, if you're going to pray, don't do it like the rest of them do out on the corners. So everybody can see it. Don't let your good works be seen. Do them in secret. And your Father who is in secret will bless you openly. But some of us like to be seen and be heard and want to be known. Oh, look at me. I'm such a... It's self-seeking. Amen? Let me go on here. In your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. There's one wisdom. That stuff is earthly, sensual, demonic. I... Look, I'm not anti I want to say it the right way. I'm not even going to say it. Forget it. Let's go on. I just don't want, I'm going to get in trouble. I know I am. Let's go on. All right. But is earthly sensual demonic? Verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, there's confusion in every evil thing are there. In other words, you do whatever you got to do to get your will done. You'll lie, you'll steal, you'll cheat. You'll do your thing. Because self-seeking knows no boundaries to evil to get your will done. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So the wisdom that comes from God is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, and without hypocrisy. Can you see the distinction between the two different wisdoms? The wisdom that comes from the world and the wisdom that comes from God. What we choose is each one of us has that choice to make. But he gives us this so that we can distinguish between the two. How do I know which is right or wrong? Because God shows us. Amen? God shows us. Now go back into Proverbs 4 with me. Is that where I was going to take you? Hallelujah. We're talking about wisdom. The house is built with wisdom. Hear, my children, verse 1, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. Give attention to no understanding. So he's not only trying to impart wisdom, but to understand how wisdom operates and understand the fullness of what God is doing. Wisdom tells us how to do it. Understanding establishes us. In other words, when we get understanding, we're not going to be moved away from godly wisdom. We understand. God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He was trying to get us to understand the way God thinks and the way he does things. Because if you understand that if you give, it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, then you'll be more willing to give. I understand how God is able to get into the hands of his children that which he wants to get to them, because he said, if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. So that means I got to draw close to him if I want him near me. That means if I give, it shall be given unto me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Okay, well, man, give it unto my bosom. So I've got to do these things. And I understand this is the way God operates. Amen? But wisdom tells you this is what you should do. Understanding keeps you there. Amen? Understanding keeps you there. So a lot of people who don't get understanding, because until you fully operate in wisdom, you'll never have understanding. Understanding isn't this up here. Understanding is saying, okay, I understand if I get in my car and turn the key on, it starts up and I can drive. I understand that. Why? Because I've done it. I understand that if I get in my car, turn the key on, and nothing happens, there's a problem. Right? So if I see the promise of God and I'm not seeing it in my life, there's a problem. Amen? And I understand that. So what am I going to do about it? Well, a lot of people just said, well, it doesn't work. Well, let me explain something to you. When you start this path, and this is what he said here, few are they who find it, which means sometimes you're going to leave behind people you really don't like leaving behind. You either have to follow the wide path with them, or there's going to come a division. Sometimes that division is necessary in order for God to fulfill what he wants to do in their lives. When you say to them, it's fine where you're at. Don't worry about it. God loves you. It's okay. Why should they change? Why should they change if it's all right? How do you change it? By you following the path that he told you to follow.
Amen.
Let them see the difference. The division isn't that you get away from them. The vision is that you walk a different path than them. God didn't tell us to get out of the world. He told Jesus prayed that he keep the evil from us. He didn't say we're getting out of this world. You're not going to get out of the world by following the path that Jesus set before you. Matter of fact, Jesus will take you right through things you don't want to go through. You're going to see things you never thought you saw before. I promise you this. If you start walking that narrow path, you will hear things and see things, and you will see the demonic activity going around you never saw before. God will open your eyes to it.
Come on.
Paul prayed, open the eyes of their understanding, Father. Give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, and open the eyes of their understanding. There are things that go on, yes, even in the church. God gives you eyes to see, but not to judge. You see the work that's going on, you go over there and bless them by bringing the truth to them and bless them by praying for them and making sure and helping them to get back on the path they're supposed to follow. If you acknowledge and let them continue on their own path without any deviation, without you becoming an example or a light to them, they see no reason to change their path. So our goal is, it's not about just us here. It's about the ones that we've seen backslide, the ones that we've seen that are lost, the ones that are saved. That's what this is about. We know where we're going, but we're not sure where they're going. Amen. You can't lead them down a path you're not following. And if you get on their path because you think it's going to make them want to come onto your path, you're mistaken. It doesn't work that way. In my own thoughts and mind, I wish it did, because it's more comfortable on the wide path. It's easier. Amen. It's not as difficult. That wide, narrow, wide path over there, the world has it all. And you'll say, and you'll follow, you say, well, look at so-and-so and so-and-so. Why? Don't look at them. You don't know what path they're on just because they claim to be Christian. And they very well might be, but doesn't mean they're on their own path. They're following their own path. They established their own path. This way, God, I'm doing it this way. God, follow me. I'm going this way. No. I'll tell you what God does. When you go to the narrow path, he goes before you. Amen? He goes before you, and he makes sure there's a barrier between you and evil. Evil can't sneak up on you. Evil can't get on that path. That's a path for the righteous. That's a path of power. Supernatural life. Living a life that's so far above the natural that people look at you and wonder, how is it possible? All things are possible. Amen? We're following a path. Listen. How far did I get? Okay, not very far. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. Verse 2. Verse 3. When I was my father's son, tender and only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Amen? See, the good news about this, it really is the work of God. It's a word of God. It's alive. It's spirit and life. It's alive. The word of God is alive. This is alive. When God spoke this, Jesus spoke this, the Holy Spirit spoke this, the Godhead spoke this, he's still alive the same as he was then. The words haven't changed. He said, not one dot or one tittle of my word will pass away. He said, my word I hold above my name. That's how bad this word can be and how good it can be. Listen. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Who will preserve you? Wisdom. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And above all things, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. As you do the work that God called you to do, as you do as He commanded you to do, understanding comes. Understand? Understanding comes when you do what He commands you to do. Exalt her, who? Wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and my years of your life will be many, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, the wide way. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just, you are just, is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness, and they do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. What's he saying? To wisdom. To wisdom. Listen. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from that wide way of evil. Wisdom. It's not like you can't have it. You just got to want it. You've got to search for her, like he said. You're going to have to search for wisdom. It's not keeping away from you so that you can't have that life that God intended you to have. It's right there in plain sight. It's right there in plain sight. Wisdom is right there in plain sight. Well, I don't understand. No, but the Spirit of God who wrote wisdom does. And if you have the Spirit of God, well, I kind of like my life the way it is. Follow the wide path. Go ahead. I told somebody the other day. I said, look, make up your mind. Be in or out. Don't just follow it. You're either in because you're going to be miserable. If you try to follow God on Sunday mornings and that's it, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be so unhappy because you'll know the truth inside. You'll know God had plans for your life better than what you're seeing. And you're not seeing them, and you'll always be grasping. Going, I don't understand why. Like, why is this happening to me? Why is that happening to me? Because you chose the path you're following. You chose that path. If God is God, follow Him. If He's not, go your way. Everybody, that's for all of us. But don't try to live in two worlds. Don't love the world and things of the world and love God. It doesn't work that way. You're going to get mad at me because I bring it out. Or you're going to get mad at yourself. You got to make a choice. Today's the day of salvation. You choose this day whom you'll serve. What path are you going to follow? Are you going to miss some things you've been doing in the world? Yeah. Will it be a struggle? Yeah. But if you're following that path and you're saying, Lord, I want to follow the narrow path and I'm having I can't do it, Lord, help me. He's right there. He's a very present help in time of need. But we focus so much on the things of the world and this and that and that and that, and we're trying to get God to do something about these things. God says, I'm not into that. I'm into this. I'm into this. This is my kingdom over here. That's not my kingdom. One day it will, this whole earth. Oh, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The day's coming. But right now, it's a narrow path to follow. We choose this day. Your life. It's your life. My life. Who will we choose? Amen? It's just a matter of choice. And let me tell you this. Do not feel guilty. Do not feel ashamed. Do not feel all this other garbage that the devil brings at you. Let it go. We all blew it. We all missed it. We all got off that narrow path for a time. But don't stay over there.
Amen.
Get back into the race. Get back into that walk. Will the devil do everything he can to keep you out? You better believe it. But remember what Jesus said. We have overcome.
Yes.
Amen? Not because of us, but because he.
Yes.
We are in Christ. And Christ is in us.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning as we praise you and give you glory.